Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, we are back with another Scott Service Show. Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, it is the Skipper himself. Skip, I don't want to start off hostile. Obviously, I'm happy that you're here. We love talking to you. You're always a great time. But you and I had a conversation about how maybe it would be cool to get ejected, and you decided against it last week. Why?
Stacey, it's the only line you have for me every time I come on.
Now,
you
it's need to one be request.
More creative than that. No, it's we've had an interesting week. We got through the road trip, getting back home. We had a good series against Anaheim. Stubbed our toe a little bit last night, but looking forward to getting out there tonight. We've got Justin Dunn starting for us, and hopefully he can take us deep in the ballgame because our bullpen got used up last night.
Scott, as we flip over to the month of May, how do things change? How do you look at this team right now with the first month in the rearview mirror?
Well, we've learned a lot. I think we've found out that early on, the strength of our club has certainly been our bullpen, and we've leaned on them quite a bit. We've hung in there, through some injuries in our starting rotation. I think the biggest opportunity for us to get a whole lot better is certainly offensively and consistent offense up and down our lineup. And, we've struggled here. We haven't had a great homestand swinging the bats, but I think anybody knows you've been around this game long enough, it can turn. It can turn on a one good night, a good inning. Guys have good at-bats and start putting it together. But it's not just one guy. I think it's a number of guys that really haven't gotten it going like we hoped they would have.
Scott, we've talked about this quite a bit on the postgame show with Mike Blowers, and he's like, let's let him get those 40 games in. That's kind of acknowledged time it takes for a lot of big leaguers to settle into their season. And he pointed to something interesting as well, in that the competition that you faced in the month of April with the pitching that you faced, it's in some ways almost hard to know what some of the guys are, because in some cases they were in survival mode against some of the very best. How much does that factor into it?
Oh, it does. It does factor into it. And I think, for us, we've really relied heavily on timely hitting, and that's why we've won a lot of games. And certainly the guys at the top of our lineup have been very opportunistic when there's guys out on base, having a good at-bat, coming up with a big, maybe extra base hit to drive in a couple runs, and it's really helped. But to maintain, above .500 record and do things going forward, everybody's got to contribute. So, we're finding out about this team early on. We have faced some tough pitching, but it's the major leagues. You play against other clubs and you maybe look at the raw numbers and maybe this guy's struggling, but as we saw last night, Kramer comes in, he throws a good ball game against us. We didn't really make a ton of adjustments throughout the game. We were underneath a lot of balls, certainly the last week or so. It seems like we hit a lot of pop-ups, a lot of, just medium-range fly balls. So guys need to make a little bit of adjustment. It happens throughout the course of a year, and hopefully we can get it going here and get it headed in the right direction starting tonight.
Scott, what is that process like for you in particular? Obviously, as you mentioned, This is the long haul. This is the season. This is the journey. But as you go through the month, there's ebbs and flows. How do you work through guys going through some of their struggles? And then also when they're at their high moments, how do you try as a staff to allow them to continue to keep playing at it with that high performance?
I think, we spend so much time together and you're preparing and you're putting approach together for how you're going to attack that starting pitching pitcher each night. You need to be consistent with what we're doing and consistent with our messaging throughout that time. I mentioned earlier, we seem like we're popping a few balls up. Well, we don't want to go to the ultimate extreme and all of a sudden everybody's just trying to pound the ball into the ground. So there's a fine line. I think it's such an individual thing. When a guy stands in the batter's box, baseball's a team sport, but it really is an individual matchup, pitcher versus hitter. And can our individual hitters make those, adjustments? Everybody swings a little bit different, but, we do need to make an adjustment on our approach there, and we understand that. And, again, it takes some time. It certainly need to be more patient with young players, and we have a lot of guys on our roster that don't even really have a full major league season under their belt yet. So they're gaining experience. We're getting better along the way, and we're learning more about ourselves.
Scott, getting creative with your with the pitching rotation, obviously, due to the injuries to the starting rotation, How long do you think you guys can continue to go down that road? Are you guys committed to going down that road if need be?
Well, we are going to stick with a six-man rotation here, and I think for good reason. You know, we've got a long season ahead of us. Now, it's challenging when you've got a couple guys out of the rotation, and for where we're at right now, you know, we've got a couple off days coming up here soon, which does help. You know, it helps your bullpen get some rest, but also, you know, you can you know, jimmy the starting rotation a little bit to make sure the guys are out there that need to be out there. So eventually we're gonna need to get some guys healthy and you know, positive. I think, you know, Marco has felt good as he starts to come back and start a very, you know, mild throwing program. He hasn't had any issues, you know, and we're gonna need some guys to step up, no question about it. For the foreseeable future, I really see us sticking with the six-man rotation, and we'll see where it takes us.
Scott, eventually I would imagine this goes back to five. How do you get guys back to five when it is that time? Is that just something that you prepare them for in the off season?
You're talking about going back to a five-man rotation?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's something that we haven't really discussed because we are committed to six, and understand that we think the benefits of that will really play out as the season goes along. So, you know, it is, you know, almost all these guys, their whole careers, outside of Yusei Kikuchi, you know, coming over from Japan, that's what they do in Japan. It's usually a six-man rotation over there. But these other guys have done it throughout their minor league career and whatnot, but we really haven't discussed it that much.
Scott, it's the first day of minor league action going on. How excited are you to start that progress with that group and the farm system and all of that? And who are you going to be paying close attention to in terms of their production and success down at the minor league levels?
I'm really excited for our players. A lot of these guys just haven't played a baseball game in over a year. That's really mattered. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a big time. A lot of people are anxious to get out there and play and contribute and show what they can do as they work their way to us here in Seattle. I'm excited to really watch a lot of guys. Our farm system is in fantastic shape right now. It's a credit to, you know, our scouting department and what our people in player development have done. We just have a lot of interesting guys to track and follow. And I started looking at some of the rosters. That Everett roster is just dynamic. It's going to be awesome. The people up there should get out and see that team a lot early in this season because a lot of those players are going to be in Seattle within maybe a couple years or even less than that. So we got a lot to look forward to. You know, it's fun to have baseball played all over the country again in some of the smaller towns and getting minor league baseball going again. It becomes like a fabric of the different communities and what it means to those towns and those people around those teams. It's fun, and it gets everybody excited about baseball. But I'm thinking about the players and coaches, and those guys can't wait to get going.
Yeah, it is definitely a great day around the game right now to have all of the minor leagues back. And we had this conversation a little bit last week, but I'd like to share it a little bit more with others, Scott, in that, you know, it's huge for the entire organization to have the minors, and the development. It's such a big part of that as well. Specifically with AAA, what do you want players to get out of their time in AAA? Why is that different from AA?
Well, I look at it a little bit differently, and I kind of separate it as looking at what position players need as they continue their journey through the minor leagues to get, you know, to prepare for coming to the big leagues versus maybe what a pitcher needs. And I really think AAA is a critical spot for position players to stop in. Oftentimes, at the AAA level, you will, on a 12- or 13-man pitching staff, you're going to have maybe 7 or 8 of those guys that have pitched in the major leagues. So they've got experience, and they pitch a little bit different. They're not afraid to throw that 2-0 changeup or the 3-1 slider, you know. And at the lower levels, AA on down, oftentimes you might have guys that throw a little bit harder, but they are going to challenge you because they don't have the feel and the ability to command those secondary pitches. So going through a AAA at bat is maybe a little bit more what you're going to get, like what you're going to get at the big league level. Different than that, on the pitching side, you know, you have the ball in your hand. You control it. And I think when you're evaluating pitching, and, you know, whether you're a pitching coach or you're a scout in the stands, you're just evaluating and what it looks like when the ball gets to home plate. You know, and not so much how the hitter's reacting to it, but you're trusting your eyes and certainly what the data is telling us is how will major league hitters, you know, adjust or how will they handle this type of pitching. So a couple different ways of looking at it. I have a lot of experience in looking at young players and are they ready to come to the big leagues and when are they ready to come to the big leagues. And I know I often throw out the line, oh, they'll let us know. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, our coaches, our scouts, the people that are making the evaluations, they're looking at a lot of different things to decide when that player is ready, and not just ready to get to the big leagues, but can he help us win right now at the big leagues? So there's a lot that plays into it, but AAA is really an important step for me.
Skip, has there been a moment kind of behind the scenes you can think of this season where you thought, I think we've really got the right group? I know that we won't always see it right away because a lot of these guys are young. They're still developing. Some of them are going to make their debuts or may already have made just 1 month of a debut. But has there been any moment where you thought, we've really got a core and I'm happy about it?
Yeah, I think it probably hit me last year, you know, as we went through so many things, you know, the shortened season, dealing with all the issues around COVID and what those protocols put in place, and then the different things that came up, you know, throughout the season, whether it was the Black Lives Matter, the social injustice things that were going on, and as you start to get into deeper conversations with your players, and maybe not just about baseball, but real life stuff, you walk out of those conversations and you feel good about the people that we have in Mariners uniforms and growing together with this group. So, you know, there's oftentimes things that happen behind the scenes, whether you're preparing for an opponent or you get in the team meeting and we start breaking down the other team or how we're going to, you know, put some damage on the other club in this series, and you start to hear different voices in those meetings, and the fact that players, maybe some of the younger players, are getting comfortable and they're starting to speak up. And I always think those are huge moments for players when they start taking on a more of a leadership role, and we're starting to see that happen with some of our young guys. So there's a lot to get excited about here, but those are a few things that really stand out for me that have been kind of like watershed moments of like, hey, we've got the right group here.
Scott, I asked Andy McKay this last week, and for those who don't know, he's the director of player development. And I asked, those systems have been in place now for a good amount of time, and I'd love to get your input, but are you able to look around? Is there something that jumps out that you see from players who either were drafted by the Mariners and came through a few years in the minors or perhaps were traded for and just had a shorter amount of time? But is there something that you can start to point to and say, that's Mariner?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've all heard it. You're talking about dominating the zone or controlling the zone. And what resonates, when we first came in, you know, Jerry, myself, Andy McKay, and you start putting programs in place and you start changing the language and how you talk, how you talk with coaches, how you're talking with players, and then you're hoping that players are absorbing it and they're understanding it. And then, you know, as players start to matriculate up towards the big leagues, and now they're arriving in the big leagues, now they're speaking the language. They understand the value of a rake report or a shove score, different internal metrics that we use and how they are evaluated and what we really value. So when it starts coming out of the players' mouths and they completely understand it and what we're talking about, then we've accomplished something here. We still got to get it to play out on the field, and we still got areas to improve upon. But as far as like putting programs in place and kind of seeing it grow, you know, you can put water on it all you want, but until you actually see it sprout and grow, that's when it really gets exciting. And that's what we're starting to deal with right now. So, again, I tip my hat to the people in player development. They've done a great job of staying true to it and not like just, you know, getting away from our core values in that regard. And it's paying off. It's paying great dividends, and it will continue to do so. Again, I say all that, there's plenty for us to work on at the big league level, and we know that. And it's an ongoing process, and like I've said all along, our team's going to get better as the season does move along. I truly believe that.
Now, one player who's had quietly a good month has been J.P. Crawford. You know, third highest batting average, third highest OPS, third highest runs scored. What has the month been like for J.P. Crawford in your eyes?
Yeah, he's figured a few things out. He did not have a great spring training, and you know, we were all excited. I think JP, you know, he really worked hard in the off season. He put on about, I would say, 10 to 12 pounds of you know, good muscle strength. The ball was jumping off his bat better, but just wasn't squaring it up on the barrel as consistently as he hoped he would, and got off to a shaky start. He has made some adjustments. It's a credit to him, and I've often said JP may be one of our most competitive guys. Like when he may not feel great that day, or maybe his swing doesn't feel good to him, but when the game starts, he gets in the batter's box, he competes. He finds a way. Whether it's get deep in the count, draw a walk, get on base, get a single, hit a double when you need it. Like, obviously, we all know what he does defensively, but he's he's doing okay. I think he'd be the first to admit he can do a lot better, and there's more there in the tank, and that's what I'm hoping we see as the season does progress.
He is Mariners manager Scott Servais. Skip, have a good week. Have a good rest of this series, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Stacey, you're going to ask me when I'm going to get thrown out again or no?
No. Well, I just thought, you know what? I was going to ask, since it's May 4th and it's Star Wars Day, what the best franchise ever was. And I was like, Scott doesn't have time for this. He's got to go. But if you want to answer.
No, I'm not a Star Wars guy. Sorry to tell you.
You don't have to apologize to me. I'm ready to debate this with Jake later, and I'm going to use you as backup in that conversation.
Okay, guys. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Shannon, are you a Star Wars person?
You know, it's really weird. I am like old school Star Wars for the longest time. And just in the last year, I finally watched some of the newer ones. So probably not, but, you know, not heavily invested in it.
Yeah, I feel Shannon.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back was probably it for me.
Jake already
that's
made what, fun of me.
We were
talking about, I know, we're going to, in Hype Train at 1:30, we're going to have one about Star Wars. And I said, Star Wars is not the best franchise. And he said, are you going to say it's Harry Potter?
Of course you are.
Of course I am, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. We all know what's coming.
Shannon, what stands out from what we were talking about with Scott first and foremost?
I think that you are really hearing how much of a work in progress it is right now, in that while April, I think you could deem as successful because, hey, they came out with a winning record. They had the toughest schedule in baseball. They're certainly looking for a lot more right now, and they really want to see those bats get going. And I think the other thing that really stands out is they're going to stay with the process. You know, we've talked quite a bit about five-man rotation, six-man rotation. What do you do about the pitching? There's no question about that. But I definitely hear there's it's a pressing issue to get this offense going.
Now, Shannon, one of the other things about the season, it's fascinating to me to see Mariners fans go from on this incredible high, this incredible run that they had to the start, and then you see this massive panic and freak out here over the last couple weeks. You know, Shannon, what is your advice for everybody going through this process? Because it's you got to remind this is a patient game, right? This is a patient developmental process for the Mariners. It's never changed.
You know, I'm right there with them, and I don't know why, because I am usually very measured within a season. And it might be, I think it's a couple of things. I think I think it's very high stakes this year. This year, it's not, playoffs have not been put out there as, you know, it's playoffs or bust. It's more, yeah, if everything goes right, you know, blah, 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 then that could happen. And I think that you still, and this is of vital importance, need answers, and you have to be moving forward. And what I've always said is the goal for this season, and I think how they will be judged, is where they are at the end of the season. And to me, after everything that they've been through, where they should be going into a season where they can make moves and whatnot, and at that point having the full developmental learn at the big league season behind them, at that point, I think it is fair to put competing for the postseason. And let me stress, that does not mean making the postseason.
Competing.
A lot happens. A lot happens in a 162-game season. But I think a fair expectation at the end of this year is next year you are competing for the postseason. And for that to happen, you need to bring along the majority of the players that you plan on bringing along this year. And you also have to go out and make moves in the offseason and attain those complementary pieces. So that's, to me, I think that puts pressure on it. So there's more of a roller coaster. But to answer the original question, it's 162 games. Then get back to, the goal here is what I just stated. Mm-hmm. I think people are living and dying and thinking of October right now. It's May, barely. And that never really was the goal here, the set out goal. This is kind of another sacrificial year in that, and not in a bad way, but these kids, they have elected to play a lot of younger players at the big league level and let them get their development there, and it is a sacrifice to give up an entire year to do that, but that's what they've done.
Right, and I guess one of the other aspects of it too is that Mariners fans ask that question of, okay, well, can you just all of a sudden turn it on? And the answer is no, just from going from, you know, losing and developing to all of a sudden turning yourself into a winner. There's got to be a gradual process in there, and you want to see that process happen, right? And so I think that that's the the pull and tug that you see fans go through is, I know they're supposed to be developing, I know this is supposed to be happening, yet I can't help but want them to be on that turn and see them take that positive turn in the right direction, knowing that this is turning into a winning ball club.
Well, I think that's what they should be looking for and rooting on, and individual performances and the development of these young players that are here now and those that are coming. So it's going to make things really interesting at the deadline, because you're going to want it to be going in the correct direction. And so you don't want to, you know, if you let go players to get something back that have been just so important to what has happened to this point, you don't want let down after that trade deadline. You want them to finish strong. Yeah. And, you know, regardless of where they're at, maybe that means adding at that point. So they have that push, be it to get into the postseason or be it to finish on a high note and help kind of finish off those young prospects at this level.
Let's talk about some of those young prospects for just the final 2 minutes or so we have here, Shannon. We know that Jared Kelnick is starting with the Rainiers, that minor league season starting today. And we also obviously are all going to be keeping an eye on Logan Gilbert and Cal Raleigh as well. We know that they want to see, for instance, Kelnick face more left-handed pitchers. And I think they just want more time for Gilbert. What are we looking for Cal?
That's a really good question, because much better than the Star Wars course. No, I'm kidding.
I almost asked him about Aaron Rodgers, and I was like, well, I don't want to troll. I don't want to.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
You should ask him about Aaron Rodgers.
I'll do it next time. I'll say, Scott, you get your choice. We can talk about getting ejected, or we can talk about Aaron Rodgers.
And for the record, we thought he was getting ejected that night because there was a bad call
off the bat.
And I was ready for it. It's happening. And then it didn't. So I was disappointed too, for the record there.
Cal
Raleigh, thank you. I'm not sure, because I think at this point it's just more experience and a little bit of what you just heard Scott Servais talk about, because Cal Raleigh hasn't played at AAA yet. Uh-huh. So get him those at-bats against those more seasoned pitchers who are going to attack him a little bit differently than what he would have seen in AA. And at that point, at AA, that's where your high-ranked prospects, your pitching prospects, that's where you're facing the Logan Gilberts every night. But at that point, they are more working on their stuff. When you get to the big league, or when you get to AAA, you've got the guys that have been up before, and so they'll attack. They're trying to go after the outs and attack you in a different way, and you see that stuff on a more consistent basis. So I know they are very happy with what they saw from him all of last year, and that included summer camp, that included instructional league, and then this year in spring training. I mean, he's taken big steps every year. He can handle a pitching staff. That's been really fun to watch him develop in that way. Switch hitter, so they sometimes take a little bit longer to come along. So at this point, I think it is exactly what you just heard Scott Servais talking about.
Good stuff, as always, Shannon. You can check out her work at 710sports.com, her Mariners columns. Also, as always, if you're not already, please follow her at Shannon Dreyer. She's got the latest from all of these games. Shannon, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Love the wallpaper, Stacey. The accent
I'm
wall
not in a
ba- just
Thank you,
right
Shannon. I'm not in a bathroom.
Bathroom
I'm not in a bathroom.
I know she is. It's the acoustics in the bathroom. I'm just playing
right
along. She clearly,
hype train.
Clearly. We know where she is.
It's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right. Now, we have a short show tomorrow, which means we are squeezing in Hype Train today. So without further ado, let's head to the station, DJ. DJ, the conductor, and also a patron today of the Hype Train. Here's how it works. I'm going to tell you guys five trends that are happening in the world of sports. You are going to tell me whether you are buying a ticket, boarding that Hype Train, or whether you think it's all hype and you're going to let it go on by. So here we go. Let's get this started. The minor league season starts today. Jared Kelnick will begin the year with the Tacoma Rainiers. Here's the Hype Train. Tell me if you're boarding. Jake, we'll start with you. We will see Jared Kelnick in the bigs before June 1st.
I believe that. No, we had a bet on this. We had a bet on Jared Kelnick, and we talked about. We were marking the day of June, like 11th, I think it was.
Okay.
and I said before. So therefore, I'm going to get on this hype train, Stacey, and I'm going to say he is going to be there before. He is going to have the month of development at the AAA level, and he will be up with the big league club. I believe Jared Kelnick will be there before that June 1st start date.
Jake is boarding this train. DJ.
I am all on this train here.
There you go.
I think Jared Kelnick, like you guys were saying with Shannon, I don't think he's going to be down there that long. I really think he's only going to be down there for like 2 or 3 weeks. Because I think his bat is major league ready. And they keep saying they want him just to face left-handed pitching. I think that is a reason, yes. But I think it's just really, they really want to see what he looks like after not playing in a competitive baseball game since September of 2019. Because the Arkansas team didn't go far in the playoffs that year and everything like that. So I think he's going to be up in the next 3 weeks.
Got to check the box, DJ. You got to check that box. So what do you say, Stacey?
I'm going to take the over because I want to win my bet. I'm going to say it's something like June 5th. June 8th,
okay.
You know what I mean? I'm going to take the over, but not by much, before mid-June, but I think that June 1st is a fair date. I'm going to take the over, though, on that one. So not boarding that train. Next train into the station. All right, so I want you guys to think of all the rivalries that are in sports right now. I don't mean looking back at the Seahawks and 49ers in their heyday with Kaepernick versus Wilson versus the Legion of Boom. I'm not talking about looking back at the Celtics and I'm not talking about former rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
Current, active rivalries, team rivalries.
Okay.
Here's my hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Dodgers-Padres is the best current rivalry in sports. If you're thinking of a game that you are going to tune into, that is leading the column of rivalry games.
In all of sports.
In all of sports.
I think right now it is certainly competing. It is competing, I think, nationally. Yes, I am going to get on this hype train. I think that nationally this is the best rivalry in sports right now. I think that there are other rivalries regionally that are more fierce, more intense. I think the NFL is littered full of them. But in terms of a national audience that is drawn in that says, man, I got to watch that rivalry, I think Dodgers-Padres is currently the best rivalry that everyone wants to tune in for.
All right, Jake is aboard. DJ. Dodgers-Padres is the best current rivalry in sports.
Yes, I agree with Jake. I think it's the best rivalry in all sports right now. And it's mainly because the Dodgers and the Padres have built their teams so differently. The Dodgers have the bigger budget. They're not saying they haven't developed their prospects, but they've made these trades. They're very active in free agency. They have money to spend. The Padres have had to do what the Mariners are doing. They're rebuilding. They're trying to catch up to the Dodgers. And I think something about the Padres just trying to become the Dodgers in that division when the Dodgers have won a division, I think it's been the last like 10 or 11 straight years that they've won the NL West.
Mm-hmm.
And the Padres are just trying to catch them. Something about that is so intriguing to me. So I have to agree with Jake. I think that is the best rivalry in all sports right now.
I think I'm hopping on that train as well. Now, we're talking current. We are talking of the moment. I am talking a hype train. And this is the rivalry everyone's talking about. I was listening to Baseball Tonight the other day. Buster Olney saying that Charles Barkley was texting him about the rivalry. There are people that, and friends of mine included, that have no inherent rooting interest in either L.A. or San Diego that will tune in because of the young stars that are in there, headed up by Tatis and, of course, Trevor Bauer on the other side. Plenty of other stars in there. But two very vocal guys as well. So I am on board as well. Next train. All right. Now, we've all been talking about Aaron Rodgers, who stole the show the night of the draft, round one, by making his unhappiness with the Packers front office clear. So here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Aaron Rodgers will be traded this offseason, and I will add that you can hedge your bets and you can say post June 1st when that cap hit will be much more feasible for the Packers. Jake.
Really? Okay. All right. So I am actually not going to take this hype train. I believe that ultimately Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay. I think that he will be a Green Bay Packer. I believe that this is a war of power right now with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I think ultimately what he wants Brian Gutekunst fired. He wants to see if he can flex his muscle and see if he can get that part of the organization to bend their knee. And I don't think it's going to happen. I also believe that Aaron Rodgers, he's got football left in him, and I don't think that he's going to try and pull a Brett Favre and retire and walk away from the game. I mean, he could. Anything's possible, but I just don't see it happening. You just came off your MVP season, and this team, the Green Bay Packers, are still, once again, looking to be a very, very competitive team. So I just have a hard time believing that Aaron Rodgers truly is going to get traded, because I know the organization doesn't want to do that in the least bit.
The hype train is Aaron Rodgers will be traded this offseason. You can include post-June 1st as your designation if you want. Jake says no, he's not boarding the hype train, letting it roll on by. DJ, are you boarding that hype train?
I'm not boarding the hype train this time.
Not doing it.
I feel like they're going to figure it out. I feel Aaron Rodgers is going to play at least one more season in Green Bay, and then they'll probably trade him next offseason. But he wouldn't be smart leaving this roster that almost won the NFC Championship over the Super Bowl champions.
DJ, isn't about being smart. This is about emotion. This is about feeling disrespected, DJ.
DJ says he wouldn't put his career in jeopardy by going.
Oh, that was your best one, Stacey.
No, I know. That was it, too.
Yes.
All right, let me get in one last one.
That goes in the top five. You haven't filled it out yet. There's like two in the top five.
the rest are blank.
That's right. It goes
so
there.
Bad. Okay, let me do one more. We have like 30 seconds, you guys. So first of all, it is May 4th. Happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Here is the hype train. Star Wars is the greatest franchise ever. Jake.
Stacey, this isn't enough time to talk about the issue. Okay?
Then why don't we put it on pause and address it?
We have to talk about it.
What I
need to know. I texted into the Mac and Jack text line. The greatest movie franchise in history. Go.
All right. Mac and Jack's text line 710-710. Send in the rest of your questions to What I Need to Know. Coming your way, your questions can be about anything. We'll turn into you guys next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It is What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Now, while you guys send the rest of your questions in, 710-710, Mac and Jack's text line, Jake and I have an answer, and DJ, for whether or not Star Wars, happy Star Wars Day, by the way, is the best movie franchise. The text line has also been answering, Jake. So before I get to what listeners have said, Jake, Star Wars, best movie franchise ever.
It is not the best movie franchise ever. That belongs to the Avengers. That belongs to the Marvel series. By far, I think that is the greatest. But in terms of revolutionary, right behind it to me is Star Wars. I mean, the cultural phenomenon of Star Wars changed the game. So even though Avengers is one, it took the top spot, I think Star Wars is right underneath that. And then from there, I think it is a slugfest of great movie franchises. Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, Rocky. What about James Bond movies? I mean, there are so many good franchise movies, but I think that Avengers sits atop all on its own.
206 did agree with you, by the way. He or she said Star Wars is the greatest movie franchise, followed closely by Marvel, then Lord of the Rings. Sorry, Harry Potter, your villain failed to take over the high school. Womp womp, which is true. It's literally a movie about a guy fighting with three teenagers, but I mean, who can blame him? We all hate teenagers. DJ, is Star Wars the best movie franchise?
I'm going to go MCU as well. Okay. I swear I'm not copying you, Jake, on purpose. I swear. But
That's all right.
I love Star Wars. But the MCU, the fact that they could get people to care about just the most random heroes, and the fact that the whole universe is all connected and everything, the fact that they pulled that off flawlessly, and how much money they've made, how many movies there are. I think Star Wars has too many bad movies. I'm sorry, the prequels suck, but they're just bad. But I think it's the MCU.
206 also saying, is this even a question? Obviously, the best movie franchise is Sharknado. John Wick also. Oh, popular answers included. Yeah. Obviously, the ones you're thinking of. Lord of the Rings. John Wick, though, is in here. MCU got a ton. Just the MCU universe, first of all, is like almost its own separate thing, but Indiana Jones, Lethal Weapon, Bond, all in here. Okay, so let's head to the text line for some more questions. 710-710. Let's see. Gosh, I just had one and lost it. This person wanted to know, what is the best prank you've ever pulled on anyone, or one that's been pulled on you?
The best prank that's ever been pulled on me.
Or that you have pulled, although I'm going to guess
I'm not pranked. I'm not a real good prankster. But my wife loves to prank other people. And really, the easiest prank of all time is just to scare someone by hopping out around a corner or just hiding somewhere and just popping out. And she does that to me quite often. And I hate it so much. Now, I'm not one of those people that just, you know, flinches and freaks out over any little thing, but she is good at this. Like, she picks the opportune moments where I am not expecting anything and just pops out of nowhere. And sometimes I live in fear, Stacey. I live in fear that something is going to pop around the corner. So
my favorite was Brooke posting on April Fool's Day videos of her pranking your guys' kids and just laughing. Like, as she's pranking.
She gets way too much joy out of it. She's just dying laughing. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
But DJ, have you ever had a prank pulled on you, or have you ever pulled one on someone else?
Like, when I was in, like, middle school and high school, I used to scare my mom all the time. I'd like sneak
that's
up
cruel
on her.
DJ, what's wrong with you?
I know, sorry mom. Wow. I love you, but I mean, I haven't really had any pranks pulled on me, but I would pull some pranks on my mom for sure when I was younger.
Let's see. Gosh, so many people are now just getting into arguments on the text line about which movie franchise. I've been told I've forgotten The Godfather. I have forgotten the Nolan Batman trilogy. And
that
the Matrix.
That was a great trilogy, but okay. Matrix. All right, it was a good trilogy. It was a good franchise. Some people also taking the you know what? It's not nice. Okay, I'm just giving my opinion of what I think. You don't need to tell me that you think I'm on drugs. Okay, all right.
Oh,
I'm just giving my opinion here.
That's all I need to know. If you can only have one condiment for a year. Is it ketchup? Is it mustard? Is it relish? Barbecue sauce? You can only have that one. You don't get any of the others.
I think the most diverse condiment is ranch. Ranch, to me, is the most diverse condiment that you can use on a lot of different things.
Ew,
if I had to choose, it would be either ranch or it would be barbecue sauce. Those two, to me, are very, very flexible.
Mustard, if I can have the different genres of mustard, I'm going mustard.
No. You can't. You just have to pick one.
I just have to choose one. I don't like that.
Yes. Yes. That's the rule.
Oh, God. DJ?
You're just going to skip it?
Yeah. What? the sriracha count?
Yes, it does
count,
DJ.
Okay, I think I'd go with sriracha.
Red Robin campfire sauce and ranch are the two most popular ones on here. Oh, never liked ranch. Question, which Mariner did you most love watching in April? So we got the first month of the season down. Who gets our award for either most improved, favorite to watch, hottest bat, whatever it might be?
If I get to pick who's the hottest bat of the next month?
Of this month, of April.
Of, you mean of May?
Of April, which Mariner impressed you the most?
Oh, who impressed me the most? Gotcha. Well, it's the one and the only. It's Ty France, of course. I mean, that's my guy.
Of course.
Ty France came out of the gate swinging, really impressed me. And truthfully, you don't know exactly who he's going to be as an overall player and how he's going to perform over the course of 162 games, but came out red hot. Showed everyone that they were right in thinking that this guy could really swing the bat. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun moments with Ty France at the plate for many years to come.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and give credit to Mitch Haniger, who had an even better bounce back season from back-to-back-to-back injuries than I thought he would. I did not give him enough credit for how hot his bat could be starting the season. And even though it's cooled off a little bit, I still think that he's been such a point of power for that lineup. And I'm very interested to see what the rest of his season is going to look like. So that'll do it for us today. We are back tomorrow. Obviously, we do have a short show, but that means you've got Mariners Day Baseball, Matinee Baseball. basketball. Right now, though, you got Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.